And now we reach a more serious point in my lecture, an actual lecture. It's not easy to be an ethnomusicologist. Take this third tune. Sometimes I talk to myself, for example. The third tune is customarily the total shit kicker in a band set, the one they play after the folks who have had trouble with traffic or parking or getting a sitter for the grandkids or finding their way out of the truck after that last joint have made it into their seats. And it's the one that I am just now not going to play for you. Here's why. Consumer protection advocates have gotten into the music industry, and thereby into the field of ethnomusicology, which may in this case be a good thing. I am told that no less an authority than Tipper Gore herself slapped the warning label on this one and spat on it for good measure afterward. The product warning label for this particular tune is as threatening as the seal on the tomb of King Tut, and in this case it may not be overreach. There are some things that I cannot in good conscience subject my audience to without warning. Our editorial decisions have ethical and now legal implications. What and how much can we share? How much of the obscurity of one subject is deserved? How much could we be sued for? But on the other hand, is it possible that a piece challenges the foundation of our ideas of what constitutes the essence of music or of performance, like 4 minutes 33 seconds by John Cage? In support of this possibility, Dietz mentions in his notes that he once considered performing 4 minutes 33 seconds with a kazoo band, but he also notes that his peers considered it to be, quote, putting clown shoes on the ineffable, whatever that means, close quote. I must, however, tell you that he also mentions Herman and His Hermits as having been hugely influential in solving the major challenge he faced in writing this. You should also know that among his orchestral efforts there is an overture for dog whistles that has been only performed once. Whether it was performed all the way to the end is still the topic of some conversation in some circles. Dietz seems to have worked on this tune for several years, and his notes say that the second verse was a particular challenge, but he also calls it his, quote, magnum opus, close quote. His high school transcript shows that Dietz dropped out of Latin 1 before the end of the first semester, so we can take that with a grain of salt. But I can at least describe elements of the song Sometimes I Talk to Myself for you, and probably without doing most of you any lasting harm. To begin with, here are the lyrics. I will not share the melody or the chord structure. Sometimes I talk to myself. Sometimes I talk to myself. Sometimes I talk to myself just to see what I'll say. For those of you who hear this much and decide that these words are benign or even stupid, I have only one thing to say. Jumanji. And at least there was a way out of it. There are repeat signs, you know, those vertical parallel lines with two dots on the interiors of them, like railroad tracks being approached by the headlights of tiny cars full of even tinier people trying to escape the piece, at either end of the only verse. And Ottoman neglected, either deliberately or otherwise, to include a coda. The effect is that of pointing two mirrors at each other. Infinite recursiveness, a song that embodies the alpha and the omega, the circular nature of the universe. Or is it a clerical error made by a pompous idiot? I leave that for others to argue, but I have my own suspicions. It is clear to anyone who listens to the music of Ottoman B.S. Dietz, hoping for insight or even entertainment, or with anything other than strictly academic intent, that he had his head stuck up his ass. But the question that makes him an interesting study is this: how far? Is he simply another navel-gazer, albeit from the inside out? Or is he, like the worm Ouroboros, a curiosity of mythical proportions? Is his head stuck so far up his ass that he can actually see stars out the other end, like someone looking up at the sky from the bottom of a deep well? At the other end of the spectrum of interminability are his a cappella pieces, $1 Million, My, 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 Cat Fat Pie, and Aldo's Unhappy People, which I feel comfortable performing for you here. And to those of you who asked yourselves, well, did Dietz describe these songs as a cappella? I applaud you. You have the makings of ethnomusicologists. And no, he did not. $1 Million. $1 Million, $1 Million, and change, and change. The aptly named My, 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 Cat Fat Pie. My, 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 cat fat pie. Aldo's Unhappy People. All those unhappy people got their tiny little heads. Take off their shoes, make them watch the news, send them to bed, send them to bed. But wait, there's a second verse. All those unhappy people got their tiny little heads. Run them upstairs in their underwear, send them to bed, send them to bed. Now, if that weren't bad enough, and it is, here's Dietz at his worst. This work, It Might Be Love, reveals his underlying irresponsibility for and even his utter lack of connection with his emotions. And he tops it off with petty crime and animal cruelty that should have resulted in his immediate incarceration and his very public condemnation by PETA. It Might Be Love.
It's the end, like I've been laid low by a curse. But if you ask my friends, they're gonna say that it's something worse. They got too many questions, they don't believe that I have a chance. Been making sly suggestions, they say the devil's in my pants. They say it's love, they say it's love, they say it's love, they say it's love. It looks like a bewitching, some sort of two-bit off-brand hex that's been cooked up in a kitchen by the most opposite sex. But it might be love, it might be love, it just might be love, it might be love. It ain't no mirage, there is something large that's out there on the loose. I'm lost without my camouflage, and I'm past my last excuse. Gonna grab my neighbor's chicken and take it out to Mama Joe's. We're gonna get that ticker ticking, and then we'll find out what it knows. Might just be an enemy, but then it really might be the end. Instead of a pal, could be a femme fatale that wants to be more than a friend. It might be love, it might be love, it just might be love, it might be love. just might be love.
Those of you keeping score are certainly on the verge of noticing that Dietz's least attractive works, those that show him at his darkest, or surely at his most mottled, have been written in the key of E. Now, I have nothing at all against the key of E personally. It is a perfectly worthwhile key in its own way, but his songs in E are not representative of mankind's brightest moments. Take this next one, I Burn For You, as an example. Having already established as his territory his moral and ethical ambiguity, he ventures into what is no less than a monomaniacal apologia with undertones of pedophilia. It was unlikely from the start to make either of its objects too happy, and the less said about that, the better.
Planet to revolve around the sun, but I burn for you. A little while ago, you were still in your teens. Said I liked your smile, but you knew what I mean. I burn for you. I burn for you. I burn for you. In my mouth, smoke gets in my eyes, and I have no doubt what it's all about. There's a boy inside of every man burning to get out, and I burn for you. My own little darling, and I'm gonna love her till the end. It isn't fair to feed a fire you do not intend to tend, but I burn for you.